Blog Talk Radio.
And now on Blog Talk, it's time for Rendezvous with Maggie, featuring Maggie DeVera. Maggie is a well-respected therapist with a successful practice in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she is also the founder and president of Realizing Our Youth as Leaders Incorporated, a nonprofit agency that prepares the most disadvantaged and at-risk youth for life and leadership. Maggie is also a licensed marriage family therapist, psychotherapist, clinical master hypnotherapist, sex expert, clinical supervisor, trainer, speaker, and consultant to musicians, fans, and actors. Maggie brings you expertise and advice on topics that impact each and every one of us in our everyday lives. Rendezvous with Maggie offers vital information that helps you understand yourself and others while providing skills and tools to optimize the experience of life's journey. And now, here is Maggie DeVera.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Rendezvous with Maggie, with me as your host, Maggie DeVera. Today's episode is for those who are tired of fighting through life and finding your true power. Today is Monday, September 16th, 2013. It's 6 p.m. here in California. And it's been a while since I've aired a new show. I know this, and I seem to have been explaining a few times that some health issues have been affecting my ability to keep a regular scheduled show. And I think I'm just coming to accept that I may not be able to just keep a regular show on a weekly basis as I had hoped. But it's been this kind of same health stuff, and sometimes it's just a lot of stuff going on at the same time with work or juggling multiple things, but mostly health related. But I'm okay. I don't want to sound like a downer. I just have to prioritize what I put my energy in, and this is important to me. And so I am going to just do the shows as much as possible when I can and as much as I can. And I'll just be sending out newsletters to announce it, or I'll send it out on Facebook or Twitter and LinkedIn when I do. So if you want to get on the newsletter, please feel free to email us at info@maggiedevera.com. That's info@maggiedevera.com. You can also find us on our page on Facebook. If you type in Rendezvous with Maggie, it should pop up. And that's the show page. And also, thank you again for all of you who have texted or emailed or called or messaged me just with your support and your sentiments and your feedback. I know many of you have asked when I was going to do my next show, and I'm really happy when I know that the show has been as beneficial as I hope it to be. So with the shows that I do, I'm glad it does. And you know, if there's ever any questions or need have something clarified or even point something out that you may not understand or be in the same, be in line with, feel free to contact me with that as well. Okay, because sometimes we just can't get to everything that we want to talk about and make sure that it's kind of fair for on all sides. I don't know if that made sense. Basically, that I'm not missing or leaving anyone out, but it's hard because those things can just kind of, we can go on forever talking about all those things coming from everyone's perspective. But I'm always willing to talk about it or get to it if someone contacts me about it. Okay. All right. So what inspired today's episode actually was a couple of significant things. The recent anniversary of 9/11, the 9/11 tragedy, and that was last week, Wednesday. That was our anniversary. And then, you know, on top of that, something had come up. I had to deal with something that led to an argument, which I have to admit took a lot out of me. You know, it was an argument I never wanted to have. I tried very hard to keep myself from going there like I used to in my younger days. But for whatever reasons or perceptions on both our sides, it didn't help matters. And, you know, I think that it's realistic to say that there were both our sides, you know, perceived attacks or perceived opposition. But, you know, with this person, although it was an administrative or business issue, and, you know, I have a very close relationship and have much love and respect for this person. But at one point, as things started to feel too overwhelming and heated in the attempt to avoid a bigger problem, I just wanted to end the discussion. And, you know, finally it did end. And even when it did, it still didn't feel right. Things just weren't resolved, and a lot of thoughts and emotions filled me up, and then my angry emotions was having me kind of dwell on what is it that I thought wasn't right, or it was messed up or unfair and disrespectful. And then I thought, you know, if I'm feeling this, I'm sure this person may be feeling this way as well. And, you know, as easy as it would have been to do things out of anger, I was focusing on how ugly these thoughts and emotions felt. And I spent a lot of time in reflection of, you know, the how or why or the possible outcomes of this argument, but fighting in general. You know, and the day was 9/11, and I was already in a meditative state of negativity and the hurt and fighting in the world, fighting the world amongst individuals, groups, families, etc. You know, just it was just a very prevalent issue that seemed to have been there for me. And so I wrote a blog, and I'm going to read this blog here, and it can be found on I have a link to it from my website. My website is www.maggiedevere.com, and you can go to the blog tab. Okay, this is what I wrote. Reflecting on the significance of this day and the devastations and trauma that occurred on 9/11, I think about how many of us believe it's right to fight for what we believe in. Some have more passion and intensity in their beliefs and values than have a need to fight, which can sometimes lead to physical, emotional, and mental warfare. Some fights lead to the destruction of the masses, but all fights can lead to our own self-destruction as well. I myself have been guilty in my past for resorting to a fight in order to achieve my goals or what I believe in, and sometimes in defense of what is unjust or feeling treated badly or wrongly. And although I have managed to change much of that through the years, I still feel very tested by sometimes people or situations, and struggle in not resorting to my old ways, even if I feel justified. But so far, so good in not repeating my ways from back in the day. And sometimes it's harder than others, but actually I'm very glad, for goodness sake, I teach anger management. I definitely try to practice what I preach. Most people have the reasons that lead them to do what others may believe is irrational, senseless, evil, negative, etc. And most of us have or continue to fight fire with fire. This is a hard issue because as a human with feelings, values, thoughts, reactions, and imperfections, I too struggle with always maintaining perfect peace. I try and I fail, but I keep trying and I keep getting better each time as I age. Yet, I know fighting begets fighting. When will it end? But at times, we feel we have to defend our freedom, safety, lives, etc. I don't have all the answers for sure, but I seek them out. But what keeps coming to mind, at least for me in my own life, is that I can't go out and look for peace. I must be peace. And if I fail at times, may I be blessed with the compassion, forgiveness, wisdom, and strength to go back and try again. Peace starts with each of us. Peace begets peace. I pray for this. May we appreciate the freedom, goodness, and blessings in our lives while we're still living our lives. Loving positive energy to all of you. Okay, and as I wrote that blog, that was the end of the blog. As I wrote that blog, I remember I was trying to be very careful and not seeming like I knew all the answers. But I do have some answers. I mean, some that I had to learn for myself, given that I'm very familiar with fighting and arguments. And some answers I've learned professionally. But I have to say that much of my answers kind of come to me from my own spiritual journey. I think that things come to me, or I'm aware of it because I seek it out. And I can't say that what I think and feel will save the world, because each and every person have their own free will and justifications. But what I can focus on right now is finding, you know, the ultimate power or strength within ourselves. And when we have the strength and power, we win regardless. But it's a matter of our perspective. It's always a matter of our perspective in most cases in life. And so for me, winning means that, you know, I'm in a good place, and that I'm not allowing, or I no longer have to be in a place where I'm allowing something or someone to have power over me, over my emotions, and where, you know, I'm filled with bitterness and envy or anger or obsessing over something or fear or judgments or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That, you know, I'm not allowing myself or my emotions to be driven by someone else. And, you know, we're human, so initially that can happen. But how much it affects us and how long it affects us through our life is defining. That's what we have to look at, right? You know, there's a certain acceptance and surrender we can reach when we are more evolved. And because you're in more control of you. Because the reality is you can't always control others or situations. You know, sometimes we even fight with our own selves, or just in life in general, we feel like we have to fight life because life is too overwhelming. And we can't, you know, and we can't even control ourselves at times. or sometimes we believe that. You know, when I was young, I thought I had to be tough or have a reputation so I couldn't be hurt. And I learned this because I was very familiar with feeling or being hurt. And as much as I had accomplished much of my goals from fighting, I carried a lot of the toxic or poison stuff in me. It's a lot of anger and rage. And certain issues or people had more power over me because I gave it power, or, you know, they consumed me, which gave it power. And so as I started to evolve, I realized that I was just tired. I was tired of feeling drained by all that negative or toxic feelings, and that I was weak when it came to these triggers. So that's one definite way of knowing that we're not within our power when we are feeling weak. And I knew I'd remain weak if I made excuses to justify why I needed to act on my triggers. The triggers had the power. The people or the situations had the power over my triggers, hence they had power over me. And you know, I have to say, my best friend throughout high school was just a wonderful balance for me, because she, you know, she was just so much more kind of go with the flow. she and I kind of represent a good balance for each other. We always talk about how, you know, if we had the components that each of us have all in one person, we'd be perfect. But, you know, she was very, where I was kind of, I had this anger and I had this rage. She was able to kind of put things in perspective and remind me, or she'd even let me know, I don't like this. This isn't good. This isn't right. You know, you thinking or feeling or wanting to do these things, it's not right. You know, those are things that still echo in my ear to this day. And that was more than 30 years ago. Anyway, so these experiences, the things that I've gone through in life, the things that I'd realized were my triggers, things that I realized I was weak to, what did I learn? I learned this from my own experiences, as well as being part of helping others heal and paying attention to what felt better in the big picture versus the small picture. You know, in the bigger picture versus the immediate stuff. And ultimately, my own spiritual journey, which is huge for me in my lifetime, my own spiritual journey for a balanced or healthy or happier life. And then what I was thinking about this thing earlier was, you know, sometimes we think about revenge, or we think about teaching someone a lesson, and then I talk about how it affects us more. You know, there's a saying, why cut your nose to spite your face? And that's what I think about when I think about getting into a place of kind of being vengeful I would say the accurate word is being vengeful or wanting revenge. Because then you're focused on the negative, and you fill yourself with that nasty stuff inside. And so when I heard this other quote, it became so important to me, and it's become one of my favorite quotes. It's not the snake bite that kills you, but the venom that stays in your system. I think I've said that almost in every show I've had, but it's so important, especially if you come from a place, and I can speak to this, of being accustomed to being angry, or feeling that you need to fight. And in order to get to that fight, you have to kind of rev up your anger stuff. So, again, it's not the snake bite that kills you, but the venom that stays in your system. So as we fill ourselves with all of these poisonous thoughts or emotions or behaviors, it harms us worse in the long run. It really does. It harms us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically. You know, and then come to think of it, another quote that I often use, this is kind of off, but it's something else that I consider when I think about fighting is, you know, when you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And it really, you know, focuses more on how you live and conduct yourself through life is eventually what can get you at the end, right? So if you go through life with this poisonous, toxic, you know, thoughts, emotions, behavior, and it leads you to fighting through, it leads you through fighting, it gets you fighting through life, that's what gets you in the end. And that's not the way I'd want to go. I'd want to go having positive memories and peace and joy and love and happy stuff, especially when the world can be more challenging at times. And, you know, if we can make as much positive stuff as possible, that's the way I'd want to live. And that's the way I try, even though, you know, we're human, so whether stresses of the world or health issues or hormonal stuff or unfair things happen, you know, there's always something that we have some control over, always something. And at the very end, you know, and I have to say, I think this has a lot to do with your spiritual values and beliefs. Because this is more geared towards people who do believe in a higher power or afterlife, is that at the end, you know, we can be at our ultimate peace even after we're done with this physical life. So that's kind of where I can find the final solace in everything. You know, worst comes to worst, I think, okay, what's the worst case scenario? Well, we can die, right? That's, to me, the worst case scenario. We can die. But then, because of my beliefs, the worst case scenario is actually not a bad scenario, because I have positive views and feelings and thoughts about the other side. Anyway, okay. Where was I? Oh, okay. So last night I was watching Oprah's Life Class with Bishop T.D. Jakes. And there were some things that he said that I just loved. And in what I heard and how he put it, he said, I'm quoting four things. I jotted down others, but this is kind of pertaining more to this issue, because we're talking about fighting and, you know, anyway, here are some of the quotes. One, you can't allow another person's dysfunction to get in the way of your destiny. You can't allow another person's dysfunction to get in the way of your destiny. Another thing he said was, when we hold on to our history, we do it at the expense of our destiny. When we hold on to our history, we do it at the expense of our destiny. So basically, that's kind of looking at holding on to the past and keeping that story versus being able to create other good things that can lie ahead. Another thing is when you rehearse those images and visions, and he was talking about kind of the negative stuff. When you rehearse those images and visions, you empower them. When you rehearse those images and visions, you empower them. And the last thing that I really liked was that when he was talking about an issue that is just so a difficult issue that can consume you. I liked that he said this. It's not stronger than me. I am in control of it. I'm not letting it have control of me. Okay, so those were really nice things. It was kind of perfect timing. So what's power? What is power? Many of us feel we have had to fight. And when we fight, we hope to win. We hope to win our point. We hope to get what we want. We hope to achieve our goals, have justice, protect ourselves, protect others, protect the issues we care about. You know, and I, for one, have said so often in life, I'm fighting for this cause, or I'm fighting for this, and I'm fighting for, you know, what I believe in, or I'm fighting for whatever. And the problem with the word fighting is that it just really brings about negativity. And I'm not talking about sports or other organized recreation or competitions or et cetera. I'm referring to kind of the fighting through life with people, with yourself, with things. Because when we deal with fighting, I mean, when you think about the word fighting, or you needing to fight, or someone fighting with you, what happens? Our adrenaline starts pumping. Our blood pressure starts rising. We have physiological, emotional, mental changes. We become defensive. We become defensive in order to go on the attack, or we become defensive, and so then we attack. And then what happens with that? When all of these things are going on, like I just mentioned, we're not really able to utilize sound judgment. We're not able to utilize as sound judgment as we need in order to make sound decisions, because we may not hear everything being said, or we might misperceive it, or we may project our issues or past experiences to what's happening now and misperceive whatever we're experiencing now. Or sometimes we may think the other person is doing that, and we feel that we're on the defense, yet our defense can seem more attacking than we recognize or realize. And then both sides feel victimized, and then the need to fight more, and then things heat up. So when does it stop? When does it stop? It just kind of can build and build. And the hard part here, for at least I can speak for myself, or collectively for those that I work with, is that the hard part is seeming to accept that we might be giving up or giving in at the expense of what's right. Unfortunately, both sides usually believe they're right. The hope is that one or both sides see the other's part or come to certain realizations. The hope is that there can be some compromise, or the hope is that we come to a place or point of peace. And so how do we do that? And, you know, this is when we're having another side to fight with. Sometimes we just we get in our own way, or we fight with ourselves, or we're so scared of life and we're so scared of the world, or we're kind of scared collectively of, you know, we can have a lot of anxiety over what's happening, that we feel that we're always on the defense, right? And so that's another issue, and maybe I can talk about that more in detail later on, or maybe some of it will be filled here. But whatever I'm talking about in terms of the other side, if it applies, apply to it also, apply to yourself also, that your own inner conflict, you know, one side of you was feeling this, another side of you was feeling that, or one side of you wants this and the other side doesn't think it's right. So, you know, as I talk about the other person or the other side or the other issue, if you are feeling like you're going through this yourself, you're kind of, you're just in a fight for life, then apply it to the contradictions or the conflicts you're dealing with within yourself or life. Okay, I hope that made sense. Okay, so when we are, like, I'm going to go back and say that the hope is that both sides, one or both sides, see the other part or come to certain realizations and even respect where it's coming from. And the hope is that there can be compromise, or that we can come to a place or point of peace that is true power, with the objective of peace. Now, I don't want to give the perception that when I talk about being able to stop fighting through life, it means that we don't try to achieve our goals if there's opposition. I'm not trying to claim to know how to resolve the world's issues on war and oppression, because that is just, you know, a whole other level. But this is targeted towards those of us who are able to, you know, have a rational mind and mature mind and wanting to evolve and wanting to utilize, learn and practice, utilize and even master our own tools and skills so that we can achieve kind of this ultimate empowerment and strength and peace. So for me, you know, I'm a strong believer that in life we have to maintain it's really, at least my own values, it's important to maintain our integrity and convictions. And I really respect those who can think from all angles and be able to convey it to others in a way that can reach as many as possible, that in how we approach matters, we create sensitivity instead of anger or apathy. Or we influence instead of bullying or threatening. And we educate and empower rather than create ignorance and fear that all lead, all the opposites that are negative lead to the fighting, right? And I think about how in my less mature evolved days, I think my dad's probably, if he's listening to this, getting so frustrated, not wanting me to utilize my own stories as much. But I think it's important, because that way, you know, I'm coming from a very humble place, and I'm wanting to show that even though, you know, I am a place that I do respect, and I'm far more evolved place than I used to, you know, I'm still very human. I've gone through a lot of things myself and realized a lot of stuff. And I know I will continue
You know, I'm still a work in progress. And as I, and the reason I'm saying this is to show that, you know, it's important that we don't judge each other or ourselves in a way that we have condemned ourselves or others. Most of others that, because we all have our stuff. We all have our journey, right? Okay, so getting back to it. So back in the day when I was less, when I was more immature or less evolved, you know, I thought it was good to be feared, you know, and that kind of gave me that feeling of strength and power and that I won. But, you know, in reality, and now that we know better, you know, what's necessary really is not to win, it's not to be feared, it's, you know, it's to gain respect and voluntary, positive respect, you know, not from force, not from intimidation, because, you know, love and respect go a whole lot further than fear and fighting. You know, I was thinking about this, experience I had years ago at a former job. I was still kind of, I was in my late 20s, but I had a really high position in a pretty respected place of employment. And, you know, I was fighting for this issue that I felt was absolutely necessary. It was necessary for everyone's best interest at work, those that we serve, those that work there. And I was frustrated because I didn't feel that the right things were happening or that the things were fair for everyone, even though I was one of the favorites. I was favored a lot, but I didn't think it was right. What I was seeing, and it consumed me. And in all of my glory of conviction and integrity, you know, I said and did all the things that I felt was necessary to be the voice of my coworkers and staff and the principal of everything. And I was, you know, I was feeling proud of myself, but I was so. I was so drained. I was constantly drained, and I was getting more bitter and negative and feeling disillusioned. So as a result of kind of all the stuff that was happening, there was a consultant that was hired on and interviewed everyone at work, from all the administrators to all the staff, and I was one of the administrators. But he interviewed me like I was one of the last people he interviewed. And at the end of the interview, I'll never ever forget this. He said, Maggie, I have to say, I am impressed. You are so respected here and very influential, and everything you've said or complained about is pretty accurate. He said, you're sharp, you're charismatic, you're a leader, you know what you're talking about. But if I can give you some advice, I just say to you, in order to be able to accomplish more of what you want or need, remember this. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Right? If you want to best serve your needs or others' needs, figure this part out. Then you don't have to feel so drained or upset or angry or disillusioned and create more enemies in the process from the people I was fighting against. And, you know, after I heard that, it was one of the most transforming messages I ever needed to hear. And shortly after that, I learned, I really tried to learn, and I implemented and I practiced how to say things more effectively. And I had to reframe my thinking and definitions so that I can do this. And, you know, part of that was I had to just, you know, I had to believe that everyone had their own good reasons, right? And, okay, but I've had to reframe. One of the things that helped was reframing even these specific words. Instead of fighting, I came from a place of advocating. And instead of arguing a point, I came from a place of providing clarity on my part and yet also try to hear what the other is saying. And so, you know, a lot of it has to do with our mindset as well. So I just kind of jotted a few things that I know has been effective. And, of course, I've worked with thousands of people and have guided with this kind of approach as well. There may be a few things, you know, hit or miss because this is kind of a global thing rather than a specific issue. But what I like to do is, you know, like I said, kind of first give things or others the benefit of the doubt. I have to kind of believe that, you know, they have their own good reason for whatever. I don't know what it is, but they believe it's important. And then, you know, I'm very focused on being as authentic as I can be throughout my life. So I come from a place of authenticity. I really try to be authentic, and I really try to find a goal for a positive outcome for everyone involved. You know, knowing that, you know, I may have to make some compromise. And then, you know, do our part to provide as much clarity that we can give that represents our goals or our rationale or perspective or our needs. You know, really represent why you have this. Why you're coming from that place or why it's important to you. You know, and then if the other side is not hearing us or is not receptive, you know, try to see if there's anything that can be agreed upon, even in terms of what the ultimate vision could be or goal. You know, maybe the specific things in the middle are completely opposite, but you know, could the ultimate goal be that people are happy, that, you know, things are respected, that there's a compromise of what most people involved are going through or what they want or need. Okay, so then if things start to get heated up, it's so important to maintain as calm as possible. And sometimes this is just really challenging because, again, we're human. And so if things start to get heated up, not for trying to win an argument or for that kind of sake, it's just, you know, sometimes it's good to just end or table things and then come back when the emotions aren't running high. So kind of end the engaging in that same way, or end the meeting or end the discussion if it's possible, and then, you know, talk about coming back when the emotions aren't running high. And then, you know, find something that can be appreciated and express it. You know, I always say, you know, even if people aren't going to do it for us, you know, treat others as you would want to be treated. I really respect the golden rule. And I'd want my point to be recognized and respected and appreciated. And, even though they can't, the other side won't, you know, I need to do that at least for me, right? Again, being authentic and be able to say thank you in the things that you can find appreciation in, whether it's because time was taken so that it can be discussed, or that, you know, people tried hard to maintain diplomacy during discussion, or whatever, that things weren't said to hit below the belt, or whatever. You know, be able to recognize that as well, and even see what good you got out of that meeting, whether you learned something from that, or, you know, there were some aha moments, or things were clarified for you that you didn't know before. And, you know, be grateful and express that. Reflect back and see what, you know, this is kind of afterwards. You reflect back and see what could have been done differently. And if all else, if there was nothing else that could have been done differently, for me, if I really think I've exhausted everything, I could not have done anything differently, which is very rare because there's always something. But there has been an occasion or two. if there's nothing, you know, I'll just pray. I'll pray. Of course, I meditated and reflected on the situation. But if nothing can be done, if there's just kind of, it seems hopeless, for me, I pray. And if possible, and, well, I want to go back to this praying. Because, you know, the reality is, my faith and my spirituality does take me far, and it really has led me to a lot of changes and learning and being more humble and evolving. And, you know, I can say that at the end of the day, where I used to feel it was necessary to fight, you know, when you come to this place, especially when you kind of get to a more spiritual place, I don't feel I have to fight all by myself. And that praying and hoping kind of, at least in my experience, has kind of led to some divine intervention, kind of miraculous stuff. I can't count how many times I say, oh my God, out of nowhere, this thing happens. And I was praying on it, and all of a sudden, this thing no one expected, especially when it comes to running Royal, my nonprofit organization, or our nonprofit organization, there have been so many times where we have almost closed, and kind of a miracle at the 11th hour would hit out of nowhere. It's kind of amazing. You know, and even with that, even without that, with divine intervention, you know, just having this additional wisdom and strength, or something different that can happen that does lead to bigger, better, or more positive things in the big picture, not necessarily in that moment or in that small or in that immediate, for that immediate need. And sometimes I just kind of need the patience to get through, or the ability to accept or surrender, and or ability to reframe it in my head so that I'm not consumed with feeling so much negative stuff. So that's big. And, you know, kind of at the end of it all, if possible and realistic or necessary, sometimes having less interaction or engaging with that other side can be necessary or beneficial. And because removing ourselves from what is unhealthy or incompatible or toxic for us is just as important. But I say that's after all kind of realistic efforts are made to find positive solutions, not to quickly run away, right? And so sometimes, you know, we may end up feeling like, you know, we lost or we end up losing a battle. And then there's that saying that I'm sure everyone knows, you know, you may have lost the battle, but you haven't lost the war. But this is so true, because to me, the worst war is having to deal with myself and life and not being able to find something good or find some happiness. You know, when I've won the war, I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of my efforts and my intentions and that I'm at peace in my life and that I said and did what I thought necessary with the best or most well-intended approach possible. You know, even if the outcome wasn't my original objective, because that happens a lot in life. And when I'm at peace and I'm not being haunted by what's haunted or obsessing over what someone else did or said to the point that it creates an ugliness in me where it fills me up inside and fills me up inside my body and my mind, or that I allow myself to be filled with bitterness or resentment or judgment or rage, and it poisons me. When I'm not there, then I win. And we're all human, you know, so we're all initially affected. That's understandable. But how and where we take it from there is up to us. How it affects our lives, how long it affects our lives, how much we allow it to affect others or those we love, affects our future, you know, then that's when you are you're at the losing end. And if there are decisions that have to be made and no compromise or solution can be reached, you know, there's still no reason to fight. You just sometimes have to make the decisions, not from emotions, or accept certain things that if it's realistic, and focus on things that can make a difference. Focus on things in yourself. And so I kind of wanted to end this, and this is just something, you know, I know thousands of stories and so many things, but this just kind of stuck with me. But I'm not going to mention any names, but there is someone that I'll talk about that, you know, not recently, but some time ago, this person was really done wrong by someone that was trusted and loved, and respected, and it was hard because, you know, when you're dealing with love, sometimes, you know, it's hard to stay as rational or romantic love or intimacy. You know, it's hard to sometimes know what the right thing is. But with all of the best intentions and honorable intentions and loving intentions, you know, it was found out later that this person was severely wronged by the person that she loved. And it was a very hurtful thing. And upon finding out what happened, there was so much pain, and I mean, talk about feeling disillusioned. There was so much pain and anger and feeling disillusioned and hurt. The one thing that she kept saying was, I don't want to be hard. And I just don't want to be hard. I don't want to be hard. And that was interesting to me because, you know, where it can be very typical that someone would say something like, oh, I hate him, or I'm going to make them pay, or I'm going to blah, blah, blah. And mind you, you know, she definitely had a lot of support in terms from people who wanted her avenged or wanted there to be revenge. And, you know, there was a lot of things said that was filling her head with things that could have been done. And but, you know, what she did was, you know, because she could have fought that person and she could have made that person's life miserable by taking it an extra step and involving other people. And just if focus was to hurt that person as she was hurt, or to inflict pain like she was feeling, it could have easily happened. Easily. I mean, it was an easy target. But instead, you know, she couldn't change what happened. She couldn't change what was unjust or was unfair, or all the things that happened in the past. And even though she did all the right things that she tried, you know, she believed in, and, you know, it still wasn't right. It still turned horribly. But instead of focusing on that, on all the negative stuff, although there was a lot of thoughts and feelings about it for a time, she focused on herself and what she could change to make things better. You know, she looked at her own stuff. She took whatever responsibility she felt she needed to take. She turned to her support system for love and nurturing and validation. You know, she went out and did stuff for herself. She worked out a lot. She spent a lot of time with people she loved and loved her. And she opened herself to good things versus closing herself off. But this time, you know, she was doing it with more wisdom. And so now, lo and behold, she is in a wonderful place, in a great situation, you know, with a great experience. And, you know, a realistic perspective of, well, you never know what's going to happen, but it's a great place to be. And where it could have taken her years or a very long time, are things that could have led to a lot of self-destruction that many people would actually resort to. She just turned on what she could realistically do to make better, and it did, right? The focus and the energy was placed on that. And I just love that. And anyway, so ultimately, to have peace in our lives can bring the most fulfilling, you know, so ultimately to have peace in our lives, you know, we can bring the most fulfilling, non-stressful, non-anxiety-driven joyous life to have. And as simple as it sounds, we don't have to go out and look for peace. We just need to be peace. We need to live peace. We need to be peace. And as a hope, and the hope is, as I mentioned earlier in my blog reading, peace begets peace. Okay? So, guys, blessings to all of you. Have a wonderful week. I'm sorry if I didn't get to answer some calls. We're wrapping up now. Feel free to contact us at info@maggiedevera.com. And just enjoy your week as much as you can and bring as much positive stuff to. No more fighting, just bringing good things about. Much love to all of you.